Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the June All-EN Payments webinar. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. If you'd like to ask a question during the presentation, please use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Charles Powell. Please go ahead.
Hey there. Thank you very much, Andre. Welcome to the June All-EN Payments call. This is Charles Powell, the technical assistant for the document support service and services and payment help desk. Desk department. I have Deborah Ten Esse, the manager of the ticket operations department with me here today, and a presenter for the EN payment status report from our systems department here as well. We have a brief agenda today, so there will be a time for questions and answers at the end of the call. There is also a chat available to submit questions during the call. You can get the link to the EN payment status report document from our website www.yourtickettowork.com under upcoming events, and then the All EN payments call, and then there is a document just below the call information. Okay, so the first item on the agenda is the quarterly beneficiary earnings report. We have gotten a few inquiries through the payment help desk. One is on when does the our earnings report update. Do you have approximate time when that updates each quarter?
I've been told by one of our staff who works with systems that we receive updated quarterly information that you see in a CUBA report the 20th of the first month of a calendar quarter. So that means January 20th, April 20th, July 20th, and October 20th is when we actually get updated information. So you may see updated information in the portal at any time, but this is when we get new information or updated information into our system. That does not necessarily mean that all employers are reporting timely. This is just when we get the new file into our system that we update. The questions that I've seen from a number of ENs, whether it's through automated payment processes or even through the payment request, is based on CUBA information where a beneficiary may show or it may appear as if a beneficiary has earnings at a certain level, trial work level or above, SGA or above. But remember one thing about the CUBRA report, it's just a lead. We have information in Social Security systems that's more exact. For example, the first quarter of 2014 may indicate that the beneficiary's quarterly earnings, once you divide those earnings, whatever they are that the employer reported by three, that the monthly average may be, let's say, well over $1,000. So it would appear as though it appears as though the beneficiary has earnings at SGA. Well, that may be true. That's what the estimate is. But we may have information to show that there were earnings reported to SSA to show that the beneficiary started working, let's say in March, and that first month they got over $3,000. So for each of those months, they may not have had earnings over SGA level. Also, when we check these earnings, we may find that everything that was reported by an employer was not really earnings. We get a lot of earnings from it's a faction of the military. It's called DFAS. A lot of times, these are benefits. They are not earnings, and they are huge amounts. And when we check out the employee identification number and do some further checking, we find out that information is not earnings. So, again, it's just a lead for us to look to see whether or not there are earnings there that may qualify a beneficiary or, an EN for a particular payment. And then, of course, there are other factors that fall into place, whether or not the beneficiary is in the right payment status as well. So it all depends on when we get the information into our system. You may say, I know this person is working. And also another thing, the information we have is about 6 months behind. So if you know someone started working last month or two or three months ago, we may not have that data yet. And it would be best if you want to get paid faster to, in those situations, submit a payment request along with evidence of any earnings.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ten, I see. Okay, so we can now move on to the EN payment status report going through the document on how to retrieve and use the ENPSR, and for that I'm going to turn it over to our systems department contact, Sunny.
Hello, my name is Kanige Ranganathan, Tani for short. We've had a session like this a few months back. It's going to be a repeat with some additional information. Before I dive into the payment status report itself, I just want to guide you to the resource sheets that we have developed and made available on the website for practically all functionality on the secure portal. And then to the specific one that we're currently discussing, which is the EN payment status report. So if on the website, if you navigate to, you can access them even before logging in or after logging in, it does not matter. But if you are on the public website, on the left menu navigation, under Employment Networks or under potentially, and or any of the tabs shouldn't matter. If you look for if you look for Information Center on the left menu navigation, navigate to that page, and then from within the Information Center, if you look for Resource Documents, you will find a host of documents posted there. And if you scroll down, the third section is about the Secure Provider Portal Resources. the bunch of documents that talks about how you would use the information in the portal, whether it's submitting forms or requests to awesome staff, or whether you are accessing reports of tickets or payments. So you would find one document titled as How to View the EN Payment Status Report. These resource sites are in PDF file formats, so you need Adobe Acrobat to read them. The primary motivation for us to reintroduce the topic again in one of these calls after one we had a few months back was we made some changes to the status values that is used in the payment status report, basically to address some key issues that we have been repeatedly encountering as part of the calls that we were getting on the payments help desk and also in the, also on email requests. So, I was planning to walk through the guide document I just now referred to. The way you access your EN payment status reports in the portal is once you log in, on the left menu there is a menu navigation available on the left hand side of the portal. You'll find a section called payments, and under the section you'll have an option for accessing EN payment status report. When you click on that, the report will typically indicate the date on which the portal received information from SSA systems. So it will say as of June 6, 2014, or as of June 23, 2014, or whatever date in which we received the information from SSA systems, and so you know how recent the data is that you're seeing in the portal. By default, the report shows payment status information pertaining to the last 365 days, all work cases that were created or the request for which we received in the last 365 days. That default can always be modified. If you look at the payment status report on the top, there are a lot of options for us to customize the query. I mean, you could change the filter to request for one beneficiary with this social security number. We can change the filter to request to see records pertaining to a particular claim month or a claim month range. So you could choose to say, I want to look at payments pertaining to 01-2014 claim from 01-2014 till 05-2014. So that will retrieve all payment records from Jan to 2014 to May 2014 information. So you have options that you could use. You could also search by a specific work case number if you already have a work case number with you. And so on and so forth. So we have some options for us to choose and hone down and look at a specific record there. The report can also be exported in Excel file. The format in Excel file, by and large, matches the Excel file report that some of you are getting on email form. So there's consistency in the information you're seeing in both places. Now, if you scroll down on the resource guide, there's a screenshot that shows the status values. The screenshot shows paid, open, denied, and all. There are only four options available there. That's because we didn't make the change. We didn't make any change in the portal itself. What we did was we just changed the extract routine from that retrieves the file from SSA systems and then sends it to portal. We are realizing that this is a mistake and we would be making a change. So very soon the drop-down will allow you to filter by the newly introduced status values also. So the report on the portal is consistent with the values that is available on the report. So I'm going to jump straight to the possible values that we have in the status report. Again, in the guide, if you look at it, scroll down to the bottom of the guide, you have those status values displayed. So what we used to call as open before has now been broken into multiple values. Open at this point in time, the new meaning of the word status value open means that the work case has been created, and that's all that has happened. No work has actually started. So the payment analyst, the payment specialist, have not begun working on it yet. It's not been assigned to them yet. We anticipate that most work cases will move from open to the next status, that is what we call as in progress. Pretty soon. You're not going to see too many records in open status for too long going forward. So in progress, if you see the status value as in progress, it basically means that a payment analyst, a payment specialist has begun working on it, and it's in some stage in the process of their analysis or review of the case. The next status that is described as now what we call as diary. It basically means that the payment specialist is waiting on a response from either an internal another department, another division for some response, some clarifications, or they are waiting for a response from the service provider themselves. So you may have to submit, there is some clarification they're seeking from you, and what clarification they're seeking from you is actually included in the comments column of the status report. Okay, so what you need to do is if you see a diary status, then you need to look for one more field in on the status report. The field is called the EN follow-up required field. So if that field says yes, so the status says diary, the EN follow-up required field says yes, then look at the comments column. The comments column will say what is expected from you all. So maybe they're asking for an additional clarification, or maybe they're asking for resubmitting a payment pay stub, or pay stub was missing and they're asking for a pay stub for the first time. Or some data was incorrect or something, they're asking for correction of the information. So there will be a comment clearly articulating the action that's required from your end in that case. And so all you need to do is submit or respond based on the guidance provided in the comments column. Once you do that, of course, it goes. The process takes it to the next step, and the payment specialist will review it and process it. If the decision is to make the payment, if the decision is being made, the status typically moves to pending pay. Pending pay is a situation where we have already submitted to Treasury about our decision to pay, and then the payment has not yet been made. If the Treasury has made the payment and we receive the SSI system receives a confirmation back about the payment being made, and that information flows through to the portal. Portal will actually say it as paid. So there's a difference between pending pay and paid. Paid is when we get a confirmation from Treasury that the payment has been made. Pending pay is when we have not yet gotten the confirmation. So that's a distinction between pending pay and paid. Denied is probably fairly obvious. It has the same meaning it used to have before. No difference to that. And again, comments should typically give you an indication as to the reasons behind those denials. And you may see a couple of more status values. There's one called unknown. Unknown is basically something that you don't need to worry. Most likely going to be a temporary status when the work case is in between a transition from one state to another state. And it's most likely going to be temporary. If you see some records in unknown status, by the next day, it should actually change to one of the above values that I talked about, from open or in progress or diary or pending pay or paid or denied. Error, you might see error status as well. And in most error status, if you see an error status, you should, in all likelihood, see one other and another work case for the same payment milestone, payment type. So the error has happened because of some technical reasons, and what they did was they closed the ticket without processing, they closed the case without processing it and reopened another case. So you should in all likelihood see another case mirroring the same request which is probably under progress or paid or denied. And so in all likelihood, error should not be a cause of concern too. Okay. If you don't see and if you're expecting a payment on a case that is marked error, then it's you can call us and we'll investigate and figure out what's going on and we can respond to you. So those are the new cases that we have. And in the recent past, in addition to the changing the status values, we made a couple of other changes that based on various inquiries we've been receiving on this on the payment status. One is some of the auto pay and e-pay scenarios, the date that was showing on the portal status report was a very old date, or like it was November 15, 2008. It was basically the payment received date was blank for us and it was defaulting to an old date. We have changed that too. So at this point in time, even those e-pay, auto-pay cases, you should see a more appropriate, relevant date. The date with which the case was created will be there. And so that issue has also been fixed right now. So at this point in time, we believe the EN payment status report has addressed most known issues that we've been hearing in the recent past through the payment help desk. I guess that's about it from my side, Charles, unless there are questions that during Q&A that I can answer.
Thank you very much, Sunny. Okay, just a reminder before we go to the question and answer period, you can always reach out to the EN Payments help desk either via the toll free phone number 1-800-949-3687 or via email at enpayments, that's plural, helpdesk, all one word, enpaymentshelpdesk at maximus.com. And we have folks that can answer case-specific or work case-specific inquiries on payments via the help desk as well.
This is Deborah Tennessee. There are a number of questions in the chat about the EXR cases, and let me say something about these claims to you. Some of you said we have IWPs, but the old ticket wasn't terminated. You don't have to have an old ticket terminated to submit an IWP when there's a new date of disability onset. The old ticket doesn't apply anymore. We're not going to make any more payments on the old ticket when there's a new date of disability onset. There's a glitch in Social Security system that was not terminating these tickets. However, again, if you're in constant contact with your beneficiary, you would know that they have filed for an EXR case. They are not working. We consistently get outcome claims in for these beneficiaries who have or are not working, who have gone below SGA because they have an approved EXR claim. At the point that there is an approved EXR claim, only if you are working with them should you submit an IWP, okay? And we can process them. It would have been a lot easier had the system terminated the old ticket, but there is a way that we still can process these IWPs. Now, if you have them, you need to send them in, okay? And, you know, we will notify SSA, as a matter of fact, we have a growing number of claims that have this particular issue. But in the meantime, if you are working with a beneficiary, you've gotten them back to work, you're helping them find a job, you know that it's an approved EXR claim, they came back to you, then please submit your IWP. And we'll see that SSA gets it and gives us some guidance on what to do with these cases. Again, they may have to be processed as manual tickets. I'm not sure how SSA is going to deal with it because they did have some changes recently. I think it was May 31st, but I'm not aware of the results of those changes. If you don't know if the EXR is approved, if you're working with your beneficiary, they would know because they got something from SSA. If they've come back to, and they're working below outcome, and they have filed the EXR claim, they would have told you. Oh, I'm sorry, Danielle?
Yes, that's me. I didn't want to cut you off. This is Danielle Armstrong from SSA. The situation that Deborah is speaking of is correct, and that was a correction that was done that the past release. So any tickets going forward that have new periods of disability or are EXR claims will automatically have the ticket terminated and a new ticket will be created. Also, correct what she's saying, that ticket isn't going to automatically be assigned to the previous EN. All of those tickets will require a new IWP because it's a new period, there'll be new payments. Just as Deborah stated, if you have these beneficiaries that you're already working with and you're already aware, yes, by all means, send those in, and we will get the tickets corrected so that you receive the payments that you are due. Anytime you're working with a beneficiary and you have signed those agreements and you have new IWPs, turn them in. Even if it's not showing in the system, it may be something that we have to manually correct, but all of those will be handled on a case-by-case basis. But there will be no automatic reassignment to the previous EN without a new IWP.
Now, Danielle, let me ask you a question. You mentioned that with this release going forward, these tickets would be terminated. What about the ones that we are holding? Will we have to notify you of those terminations?
You would notify us of the termination. We would be notified when they have submitted the new IWP.
Yeah. Okay. And at that point, they'll do the term. Okay. Thank you. Judy, you have a very good issue that this is how we found out about the EXR issue. For those of you who are not in the chat room, I'm going to read Judy Sanderson's message. We are in the auto pay system, which is very helpful. But if someone goes into auto pay for outcome payments, then they will keep on showing up as requested, even though the beneficiary has gone back on benefits for any reason. The EN can't stop this. It just keeps on happening. Judy, let me tell you what happened. We noticed this, too. The majority of our denials for auto pay is because for outcome payments, the universal auto pay, is because the beneficiary is in current pay status. We looked at a number of these records and determined that the beneficiary had gone back into current pay and that they had these EXR cases, and that's when we started investigating them. What we did recently was to move all those cases we identified from the auto pay case file, and we put them in diary so we would know who they were, so that once we resolve this issue, which you should get now that Danielle has given us an update, you're going to get a denial for these claims that were on auto pay, so you will know, if you didn't know already, that these beneficiaries have a new period of disability onset and they're no longer eligible for auto pay, and those SSNs will be removed from the auto pay file. So I hope that helps. There are some who you're going to get denials from for current pay. Yes, they move back into current pay, but we keep them on that file because when we run our file every month, we do not know the status of the beneficiary. We just know at some point you have received at least outcome one. So that qualifies that beneficiary's Social Security number to be looked at. But all the ones that are in current pay status are not EXR cases, and they may at some point go back. They will go back into outcomes, so we keep them on there. Now, as far as how soon do you think the change for the auto pay denials will occur, since we have some information on this, I will have to write procedures for my staff, and we should, within the next week or so, you're going to get the denials. Because we've kept them in diary so we would know which claims they were, which months they were, so you will get that list of beneficiaries in denials within a week or two.
Okay. Operator, can you please start the Q&A portion of the call, please?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. Our first telephone question comes from the line of Janet Steveley. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Well, hi, this is Janet. I had a question about the quarterly benefit statement. I've had a couple people who seem to have high earning, people who I've lost touch with, I'll phrase it that way, who have high earnings showing, and when I submit the payment request, it generally comes back that they're still receiving benefits, and one has been resolved, and the person actually ended up with a really high overpayment, and I'm concerned this is happening again to the second person. And I just want to know if there's a way to alert Social Security that they could, you know, their benefits probably should have stopped, or at least I think that, you know, based on what I know, they probably should have.
We've seen this, Janet, a number of times. Before the beneficiary's earnings, I mean, payments can stop, the beneficiary has to have a work CDR performed, meaning that Social Security has to go back to employers and others to verify their earnings. And there's a huge backlog for this process. The best thing to do, a beneficiary, once they start getting earnings at that level, what they could do is go to Social Security and ask them to stop their payments. The other thing, if Social Security doesn't do it, the only other thing that I would know to tell them to do is to just either bank that money and at some point return it to Social Security when they have advised of an overpayment, but they can request that Social Security stop their payments. Again, until Social Security performs that work CDR, and there's thousands of these, I can tell you, benefits won't go into suspense and stop.
Okay, is there anything I can do? Because I've lost touch with the person.
She's already gotten the overpayment, so I guess at that point her benefits have stopped. But for any of your clients that you work with, you can pass that message on to them because they will get an overpayment. Sometimes we've seen where the work CDR wasn't performed for 2 or 3 years, and that's how the reason we know this, and this is the issue that came up on auto pay. A beneficiary can go back into current pay, but it may take a while for Social Security to put them back into suspense. When they do, they look at every month and every month's earnings, and retroactively, it could be a year, 2 years, that we could owe you some outcome payments once SSA does this. So any of you ENs who are on the phone, if you know that the beneficiaries are working way above SGA, if they're still in current pay, still receiving that monthly benefit check, they don't want to see an overpayment, especially a huge one, if it takes SSA months or even a couple years to perform these work CDRs, ask SSA to stop sending those payments.
But there's nothing we can do to initiate the CDR?
I haven't found anything that has worked, other than just to tell the beneficiaries to continue to go into Social Security and report those earnings.
Okay.
Now, one thing is, it's really important if the beneficiary goes into Social Security and report their earnings, they have a process in place. They're supposed to do a verification within a certain period of time. So if they go in that way, that's the front-end process, the easiest process. It would be better to do that. If a beneficiary is in current pay and you're requesting claims, of course, we key earnings, but that's sort of like a back-end process. It takes a little bit longer for the field offices to get around to working CDRs based on our input. But I can't say 100%. I believe it happens much faster if the beneficiaries go into the field office and report those earnings.
Okay. But filing a payment request doesn't trigger anybody in the local office to look at it?
It does. It does. If the beneficiary is in current pay status and we key earnings, alert is generated. But I'm just saying, they got thousands of those alerts. And ours don't have any priority other than over those where people are not on Ticket to Work program. People are reporting their earnings all the time. But we do key your earnings and report them.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register your questions or comments, please press 1-4 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Odell Piller. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Odell from Tennessee. I am receiving EM payment status reports that I've sent in, and there's nothing under the date sent to SSA or payment amount or description or denial. Now, my understanding is I can review a different EN payment status report on the portal that will explain or give me more description on what why I'm not haven't received a payment.
You haven't gotten any payments at all?
Not at all.
How long have you been submitting payment requests?
Well, according to the dates on here, since, let me see, one claim month was August 12th.
2012?
That's what I'm showing.
Did you get a claim, denial? I'm sorry, did you get a denial?
There's nothing under denial or approval.
What's on that line
it says
at
the
all?
Status, under my status, it says open.
And August, that's the August 2012, is that the month and year that you're requesting payment for?
Yes.
When did you the request?
I will have to look the file up. Now, I can tell you the date recorded by Maximus is on that particular one. Well, all of them is showing 5/28, and one is January 9, 2014.
And it says open?
It's all cases say open.
And none of them in diary?
Diary, that's what I'm saying. I don't, no, nothing is saying diary. All I'm saying open. With a case number.
Is there an, in your column, EN follow-up required, is there a Y there?
There's nothing in that column.
Okay. All right, then you need to send something in to me so I can check it. Now, the ones that you submitted, 5/28, they're not 30 days old yet. They'll be 30 days old real soon, but they're not 30 days old yet because we have 30 days to process your claims. But
okay.
For January, I'm concerned about that, why it's sitting open, whether or not it should have been deleted or something else. So you can send that to our EM Payments Help Desk, and we can investigate that for you, okay?
All right. Now, let me see. I'm looking at two cases, and both of them were job placed at the year in the year 13, and I have not received any payments for them, nor any explanation of why.
Did you send in payment requests for earnings?
Yes, evidentiary.
Okay, and these you sent in May 28th?
I will have to pull the case. I'm just going on the dates that's on the payment status report.
I can't answer that until you give me some more specifics. So you can contact our EM Payments Help Desk with, and they can pull up, I believe, your status report and go through that and look up those work case numbers and see what's going on with your claims.
Okay. I'll do it again. I contact them again. Last time I talked to them was 3 weeks ago, and they said the cases was being held up by the Social Security Administration. Is that possible?
Oh, it all depends on what the reason were. Is your CCR registration updated?
Is that the same?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Did were you notified to update it?
I think so. Now, we updated it. Let me see if I can find a report here. Yes, it's updated as of April the 9th.
Okay, that's probably the chief. It probably did expire. We tried to process your claims, and we couldn't. The system wouldn't allow us. You were notified, updated, and SAM. And until you call the person at Social Security to let them know that it was updated so that we can pull your cases and process them, you're still going to be sitting there in that holding status. We don't know.
Who do I need to call?
You can't tell. Once you go in and update your SAM registration, there's no way for us to know that that has happened until you send in another request. So if they're sitting there, the diary wakes up, we may try to do it again. But normally what happens is when we find out your registration has expired, we have a contact at Social Security that we call. That person will call you to let you know that you need to update your registration and that you should let Social Security know that you've done it. When you call back to Social Security, they will call a payments group, and we will remove all your claims out of diary and do it, you know, and begin to process them.
Okay. I was looking for the letter that we sent. We received after we updated our SAMs numbers. I'm not going to pull up the caller. So, get in touch with the help desk at ACMO and see if we can get it resolved.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty.
Our next question comes to the line of Diana Bernardini. Please go ahead.
Hi. I'm asking about the new tickets being issued. I've got a client where I was notified that they would be closing out the old ticket and starting a new ticket. The client is having a lot of trouble understanding what's going on, too. So we're going to do a new IWP, and so I have two questions. One, I can't go through the assigned ticket assignment request on the portal because, according to the portal, the ticket is already assigned to me. So
right.
Do I just upload forms and upload that IWP, and then what do I do after that is done?
To make it easier for staff here to know what's going on, if you upload the new IWP in a portal, I would put somewhere on that document approved EXR case.
Okay.
So when someone gets it, the first thing they'll do is check the assignability. And they're going to see the same thing that you saw, that it was already assigned. But if we know it's an EXR claim, then at that point we know that there's something else we need to do.
Okay. And I'm still submitting payments on the old ticket, but I'm not getting paid for those.
No,
I've
won't.
Got payments out since March. I've got five different payments out. Am
okay.
I going to get paid for those? Or
if it's on an old ticket, and if you're sending in requests for payments on the old ticket and the approved EXR was during that period, that ticket is no longer valid, so no, you won't.
Okay. All right.
But up until that date, up until that approved EXR, if the Benny was working, up until that date, if we have info, we can pay you up until the date of that new date of disability onset. If we have the earnings and the Benny is in the right pay status, we can continue to pay you.
Okay.
Up until that new date. Okay.
When I do the IWP,
mm-hmm.
do I do the 18-month look back for the work they've been doing, or do I do it? Because this is somebody who's employed and a state employee.
Well, the thing about it is once you get a new ticket, let's say this person was working for a long time or even a short period of time and had earnings, and then a new ticket was assigned. That's a brand new ticket. So any earnings that are, any look-back earnings that were done previously to the on the first ticket wouldn't count. We start all over again. So we would be looking at your look-back earnings on this new ticket. Now, if it was a situation for VR closures, a successful closure was performed on the first ticket and it's a new date of disability onset, then that closure, successful closure, would not apply to your new ticket.
Okay, so I do an 18-month look back only in relation to the new ticket and how long they've worked since that new ticket was assigned.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just say this. When you do your 18-month look back, remember to take in consideration the date of disability onset, because you look at earning, you put, if your date of disability onset on a new EXR case, let's say, was January of this year, and the ticket was assigned in July of this year, we can only look at earnings from June through January when that new date of disability onset occurred. We cannot look at any earnings prior to that because you have a new date of disability onset.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I can understand that. Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Misty Sanborn. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. My question is about submitting pay stubs, et cetera. With the Social Security field office's hours being so limited, the majority of my working beneficiaries just can't get there unless they take a day off work every month. So one of the services we offer is if they bring the pay stubs to us, we fax them in.
Okay.
It's my understanding that the beneficiary is supposed to receive a receipt in the mail for those pay stubs that were submitted. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what the field office procedures are, but I believe any time that anything is received in a field office, you're supposed to get a receipt for it.
That's what I thought, but I've got beneficiaries. I've been doing this for months, and I've got a couple beneficiaries telling me, and it's from two field offices, and they're telling me the same thing. They never receive any kind of receipt.
They never spent any, or the beneficiary?
No, I've faxed the things in for them. They bring them. They either bring them here to me, or they mail them to me. However, they get them here somewhere to me, and I fax them for them.
Names of the two field offices, or where they're located?
One is the Orlando field office, and the other is the Apopka field office, both in Florida.
Okay. I'll just pass that information up to Social Security office that we deal with and let them know that, because they are really, from what I understand and reading the formal procedures, you're supposed to, as far as I know, get a receipt for that.
With Orlando, we've had other issues. I haven't dealt with Apopka as much, but Orlando, depending on who you get, even if the beneficiary walks in, sometimes they refuse to give them receipts. You know, to stamp the papers that they bring in?
Oh, yeah, I understand. And, again, I can submit that up because even though we don't directly with the component that's over field offices, we can let ORDES, that's the component who administers this program and oversees this program, we can let them know that complaint. They can forward it on to operations.
Okay, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes to the line of Judy Box. Please go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, we have submitted names for about 10 people that are 2 to 6 months old that we have sent directly to specific people and have yet to get any responses back on. We have a list of names and case numbers that we can fax to someone.
Response to what? What are you trying to get a response?
To payment. Why are we not getting payments?
Are they on your EN payment status report?
Yes.
Because the response could be there as to what the issue is.
Well, we look at that all the time. Each one of the payments requested had been in pending for months. We're wanting an explanation of the holdup. We have provided explanations why they are entitled to the payment with each payment request, so they already have all the documentation.
So if there have been payments pending for months, it's an issue with those particular beneficiaries. Because if it's information you have to give us so we can complete our payment, if we don't get that sufficient documentation in 9 business days, we would have denied those cases. So if they're in pending, there is an issue with those tickets or a problem with that. So I would need to know that. It could be an issue because are you with disabled workers?
Yes.
Okay, because I see that on there. There could be an issue with those benefits, with those particular claims that you submitted.
Can we fax this list to somebody to get some responses?
Judy, this is,
yes.
Charles, I will call Steve back, okay?
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem, man.
Our next question is a follow-up question from the line of Janet Steveley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, again. I had another question. If
sure.
I had a payment request denied recently, saying that the person was in payment status, and I think she was paid for that month, but then later received an overpayment notice.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, is that a situation where I should keep submitting the payment request?
Okay, who got the overpayment notice, you as the EN or the beneficiary?
The beneficiary.
Okay, that doesn't affect you at all. Okay. Now, did the beneficiary's in payment status, it was denied, right? Your payment was denied.
Actually got paid for it, but then later, you know, then she got an overpayment notice because of
okay, money. Then she shouldn't have probably been paid for that particular month.
Right, so
she got an overpayment, but you would not get an overpayment for that. Was it a milestone payment?
It was an outcome payment.
And you didn't get an overpayment notice, she did?
No, I didn't get any notice.
And you got paid for that?
No, I didn't get paid.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you did. Okay, that's completely correct. You shouldn't have gotten paid. And if she got paid, then she was overpaid. Okay, that's right. That's correct. But that doesn't affect you at all.
So now that she's gotten the overpayment notice, it kind of says that, well, she really was over SGA for that month.
Until,
so if
until Social Security retroactively puts her record back into suspense due to work earnings, you could submit that because I don't know what the record shows now, but it seems to me if they have notified her of an overpayment, they know that she had those SGA earnings. So resubmit that for an outcome payment.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Andre, we have time for one more call, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to register your questions, please press 1-4 on your telephone keypad. Mr. Powell, it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andre. We appreciate your time today for the June All EN payments call, excuse me, I'm sorry, Miss 10, Tennessee has one more item.
I just, for those of you who have been calling in consistently to our All EN payments call or who have submitted inquiries to our EN payment help desk, I just wanted to tell you about a turnover in our staffing. These calls normally have been always hosted by Aaron Abar, who was the supervisor of the EN payments help desk and our document support services. Aaron is no longer with the Ticket to Work project. He is still with Maximus, but he's moved on and upward with our corporate office. So if you were used to sending any emails to Aaron Abar, he is no longer with us. Charles Powell, who was the moderator for this call, is our technical assistant. So right now he's overseeing the functions and tasks and operations of the EN Payment Help Desk. So if you have an escalated inquiry, you can submit that to Charles. Okay, and we do have some escalated inquiry rules where you should go through the normal process of going through the payment help desk. If you don't get an answer within a period of time or the answer is confusing or you just have some issues with the answer itself, it can be escalated either up to Charles or to me. I'm Deborah, Tennessee. I did put my one of my email accounts in the chat room, but I will tell you what it is. It's DEBBRA.TENNBSSEE at ssa.gov. And if you have any problems at all with any of the information you're getting, it's confusing to you, or you don't get a response back, please send it to me. But still, first go through the protocol of going through our help desk first, because we have staff there to take those calls, and I have a whole lot of other duties, but I will respond to your emails eventually. Thank you. And
my email... Now, address for escalated issues is Charles Powell, that's CHARLES, P as in Paul, OWELL, all one word, at maximus.com. And thank you for your time. Our next call for the July all EN payments call is Tuesday, July 28th at 3 p.m. And have a wonderful afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.